KBOO Community Radio is hiring. We are seeking a full-time AM News and Public Affairs Director. Applications are due by 4 p.m. Friday, September 2nd, at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Applications may also be emailed. Send them to hiring@kboo.org. To apply, please send both a resume and a cover letter outlining your skills and experience with regard to the minimum qualifications. And please answer the question, why is KBOO important? For more information and a full job description, go to kboo.fm/AM News. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Again, that's kboo.fm/AM News. And thank you.
I'm Dimay Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to a piece of music from a solo show called Motherland by Manita Gandhi. It's about a young woman who is forever changed on a trip to India when she unearths her family's secrets. It's one of six shows featured in the ConFest, a big conference and festival that's happening October 1st through the 9th in Ashland, Oregon, hosted by the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and produced by the Consortium of Asian American Theaters and Artists. Today we'll hear about the beginnings of Kata and ConFest from Tim Dang, former artistic director of East West Players and one of the theater leaders who was instrumental to making it all happen. We're going to talk with Tim Dang and get more info about the ConFest. If you want to follow along and peruse the ConFest schedule, visit kata.net, that's C-A-A-T-A.net, kata.net. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dimay Roberts. With me via Skype is Tim Dang. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Tim, you know, East West Players in Los Angeles is the longest running professional theater of color in the United States. And you recently stepped down after 23 years as artistic director of East West Players. Did you ever think you'd be there that long?
You know, I didn't. And I think the reason why I figured it was time is because we made it to the landmark 50th anniversary as the longest theater of color. And I felt that with the next generation and with, you know, this new energy about Asian American theater coming around, and that it was a good time to really celebrate the past, but also look into the future in terms of the next generation.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but I remember back in, I believe it was 1996, when you directed a stage reading of one of my plays. And the theater at that time was a humble black box theater. But now it's a state-of-the-art 240-seat theater named for playwright David Henry Hwang, and that's all because of you.
Oh, well, I don't want to take the full credit for it, but, you know, it was something that our founding artistic director, Mako, had. He had this dream of paying a living wage to the artists, and that's what he strived for, and that's what I wanted to continue through my predecessor, Nobu McCarthy, who was artistic director for 5 years, and then to me. And so I think that it was a very collaborative effort in terms of trying to take Asian American theater to a place where we would get credibility and validation. And hopefully we succeeded.
What are some of the other things that you're most proud of during your tenure at East West Players?
I think that the most exciting thing was actually moving East West Players from that 99-seat black box that we did your work in, and we actually moved it to a 240-seat state-of-the-art theater, and thereby, you know, utilizing an actor's equity contract.
You've been also, you know, one of the things you did at East West Players is you've been challenging American theater to diversify on all levels, on stage, backstage, as well as on the board. Tell us about your 51% preparedness plan for the American theater.
We at East West Players had launched an initiative called 2042 Sea Change. 2042 is the date that the U.S. Census has titled when America becomes majority minority, when it's a tipping point where the population of the United States will be majority-minority, hence 51%. And what this initiative wanted to encourage was to really challenge theaters in terms of their development of new stories, their casting of more people of color, casting women roles, as well as encouraging more youth and stories and experiences about youth under the age of 35. And the idea was to think about it now so that in 20 years, 25 years, as we get closer to 2042, that there will be this celebration of new stories, and starting it now is the time.
Well, you know, that's very impressive. And are you finding, or have you found, that many theaters are starting to adapt that? Is it working?
In terms of some of the major theaters around the country, Oregon Shakespeare Festival has been quite aggressive in terms of reaching this goal. They have already reached the goal of majority women on stage. And last year and this year, they are celebrating having majority people of color on stage. So they've actually succeeded in two of the goals. So the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is really a model for the 2042 Sea Change Initiative.
You were also instrumental in founding the Consortium of Asian American Theaters and Artists, or otherwise known as CAATA, C-A-A-T-A. And CAATA is producing its fifth National Asian American Theaters Conference and Festival, and that's also known as CONFEST, a fun name. And that's happening October 1st through the 9th in Ashland, and it's hosted by Oregon Shakespeare Festival. You know, if you want to follow along as we talk with Tim Dang here, visit stageandstudio.org, where I have a link to CAATA.net, C-A-A-T-A.net, or you can also hear the podcast there if you missed any of this show. So, Tim, what was the motivation, I guess, for, I mean, that's a lot of information I just threw at you. I want to talk about OSF hosting the CONFEST, but also what was the motivation for creating CAATA, the Consortium of Asian American Theaters and Artists?
Actually, it was through Theater Communications Group, or TCG, way back in 2003, they convened these theaters. So when the Asian American theaters got together, and there were six of us that were together, that's when we brainstormed about the idea of, you know, we don't have this opportunity to meet. And wouldn't it be great if all of us had a chance to meet? And there's this wonderful website that was developed by Roger Tang called Asian American Theater Review. And it actually listed 4 to 5 dozen Asian American theaters across the country and in Canada. And we thought, wouldn't it be great if all of us came together in the same space and we could talk and celebrate and discuss Asian American theater. And that is how the idea of having a conference and festival began. And it was a 3-year-long process to the first Asian American theater conference that happened in 2006. It was called The Next Big Bang, and it was held at East West Players in Los Angeles. And now we are celebrating our fifth National Asian American Theater Conference and Festival, called CONFEST, as you aptly put it. And we're very excited that a major theater like the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is hosting us, where we hope to bring together over 300 Asian American artists from all over the country and the world, for that matter, so that we can talk about what kind of steps that we need to take in order to promote more Asian theater and Asian American theater.
Why did OSF offer, or how did that come about, that whole connection with OSF and having the hosting there in Ashland?
Well, East West Players back in the day had a very, very good relationship with Cornerstone Theater. Cornerstone Theater at that time was run by artistic director Bill Rausch, who is now the artistic director of Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And Bill really has it in his heart the importance of access and inclusion and diversity. And we went to talk to him a couple of years ago and asked him, you know, what are the possibilities of doing this? We know that, you know, he is very passionate about access and inclusion. And what about this idea of hosting the Confest? And he absolutely embraced the idea, and we continued to work with him, and it's now going to become a reality. It's now, 2 years later, that he is going to host the 5th National Asian American Theater Conference and Festival. And with that, there are so many other exciting things that are being partnered in collaboration with this, which we're very excited to share. You know, such as there is going to be a Central Asian, West Asian, Arab American pre-conference that's going to be happening. There's another pre-conference happening called Beyond Orientalism, which is going to talk about some of the yellow face practices that have been happening in the American theater, as well as some of the whitewashing of Asian American stories. And so these are some very important topics that are going to be talked about. And at the tail end of our conference and festival is OSF's Culture Fest, which is a big multicultural event that happens. So we're going to have this wonderful event that is going to be bookended by additional wonderful events. So I hope that it will create synergy amongst all the theater practitioners, and I hope everyone comes to OSF this coming October.
Well, I can assure you that it will be probably the largest convergence of Asian American Pacific Islanders in Ashland, which is generally, you know, not too multicultural except for OSF, you know, and probably the college there, or multiracial. So that's going to be very exciting to have that happen October 1st through the 9th. This year's theme for Confest is Seismic Shifts Leading Change in the American Theater. And you expanded on some of the topics, but the main through line is social justice and inequity in American culture. Would you expand upon that? How does some of the theater stuff, or, you know, I guess, relay to everyday Americans? How does that connect with them?
You know, we're at an interesting time in American history. You know, as you know, that there are things that have happened in Orlando and the shootings that have happened, you know, in terms of the police shootings. And I feel that this is a time to dialogue in terms of what is actually happening in our community. And I think by artists coming together and trying to figure out a way on how we can heal, how we can bring the communities together, I think is the most important thing. And many times it is the art that brings us together, because the art is allowed to really express the way that our community is feeling right now. And I think OSF is a really good place to have that conversation, that very open dialogue there in a very safe and embracing environment like OSF.
The first part is a conference. And so some of the topics you mentioned were, I guess you mentioned yellow face, ending yellow face. And some of the other topics include casting and union representation of Asian American performers, and immigrant and refugee community-based theater, and expanding the classical canon through international collaboration, and building the next generation of professional leadership in theater, in the field of theater. Which one of these topics, I guess, are the most closest to your heart that will be discussed at the Confest?
I think leadership is really important now when it comes to Asian American artists. With so many different voices, and, you know, with the globalization that is happening, with so many artists now of mixed heritage, that there are all these voices that are converging and just waiting to be heard. And I think that it will take leadership amongst the many Asian American theaters, the many larger institutions to come together and somehow partner. And I think that this partnership is going to take great leadership as we go into the next generation, what I call, you know, the 21st century of what we call Asian American theater. And I think that this leadership right now is starting to surface. And we need to really nurture this relationship in both a very intimate way in terms of amongst the Asian American theaters, but also in a broader way as we go into the larger institutions.
Well, I also want to talk about the festival part, which is the performing arts festival part, and there will be 6 Kata-sponsored performances. Some of them are solo shows, and some of them are larger shows. Of the 6 shows, I'm going to actually mention it at the end of our interview, but which are some of the performances you're excited about seeing at the ConFest?
You know, I definitely love the Wong Street Journal by Christina Wong, is written and performed by her, and I happened to see that show here in Los Angeles, and it is very, very funny, but it actually says a lot in a very, very funny way. And Christina has this way of entertaining an audience, but at the same time, it you know, what she has to say kind of like slaps you in the face and say, hey, wake up and, you know, take notice. And so, you know, that's one of the great things that I'm really excited about. Another is Andrea Assaf's 11 Reflections on September. And again, I think it's a very emotional piece and it involves music, video, and it's quite powerful as well. So, but I look forward to seeing all of them. In addition to having 5 readings that we're having from the various Asian American theaters that are a part of Kata, and you know, these are the new writers of Asian American theater, and it's so exciting to have them at our festival.
Well, yeah, there's readings, and there's also the courtyard performances with the Green Show too. It sounds like it's going to be round the clock performances at some various location while even the conference is going on. Is that correct?
It is. You know, it is going to be almost like a circus. There is never a dull moment from October 1st through the 9th, and I just hope that we are able to keep the energy up with the excitement of the new work. Just from the past conferences and festivals, that, you know, it is such a great feeling to meet your colleagues from all over the country, because, you know, you've heard of them, you've heard of their work, and you actually get to see them in the flesh, and you know, you have a chance to eat with them, to drink with them, as well as to celebrate performance. And so it's a very, very exciting time.
Well, you know, you mentioned a couple of the Kata-sponsored performances, and I feel like they're all pretty worthy of the 6. Also, to me, as a radio producer, too, Empire of the Sun sounds very fascinating. It's about 2 generations of broadcasters and the radio silence between them, a father and a son. And it's very multimedia and cinematic. The other one, Muthaland, they all have trailers up for all of our listeners if you want to take a look at some of the plays that are being produced for the ConFest. Muthaland is written by and performed by Manita Gandhi, and Empire of the Sun, I guess I didn't mention, was Tetsuro Shikamatsu. But Muthaland is about a young woman whose life has changed forever on a trip to India, and she unearths family secrets and encounters a prophet and discovers her voice within a culture of silence. And I mean, they're all really interesting plays. It must have been really hard to select the performances and the stage readings that were selected for ConFest.
It was. In fact, we had so many selections that the panel actually had a really challenging time in terms of, you know, capturing the breath of Asian American theater. That is why we added the 5 additional readings, because there were so many, you know, wonderful projects to choose from. And in addition, you know, OSF has actually selected two shows that are Asian American. One is Viet Gone by Quy Nguyen, and the other is an Asian American take of Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale. And you'll have the opportunity to see these shows if you come to the Comfest. There's also a third option of going to see the musical The Wiz there at OSF. And so it's really been a great partnership that we have with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And we hope that we can continue the relationship even beyond what is going to be the Comfest.
Oh, wow. Yes, we hope so. Maybe it'll be every year or every other year here. Who knows? Who knows if it goes well? So how many, I guess when you're talking about you had so many selections from all over the country for Comfest, for the performances, what do you think is, I guess, some of the themes that are going to be emerging in the coming years? What are you seeing more of with the next generation of playwrights? Is there any kind of predictions you can make about what we'll be seeing in the future?
I think that there's going to be a lot more multi-generational work that is going to be happening. There's a lot more South Asian work that is happening, as well as work that includes a lot of mixed heritage experiences. It's no surprise that the U.S. Census is already predicting that the Asian American community is going to actually surpass the Latino community by 2060, is because of the number of mixed race people in the country. And so those stories are starting to emerge. In fact, one of the readings that we're going to be doing is called 2 Mile Hollow by Leah Nanako Winkler, who is a playwright of mixed race. And again, you know, we are starting to see that trend toward mixed race. I guess I should say mixed heritage individuals and artists.
Well, that's exciting to me personally as a mixed race Asian American. In closing, what's the most pressing issue for Asian American theaters right now? What do you think is the most, if you were to select just one issue, what's the most important one?
Sustainability. It's all about funding. Again, we have to be able to build an audience that loves that. Again, we have to be able to build an audience that has a passion for the Asian American experience or stories with the Asian American experience. And we need to find that way of sustaining ourselves through funding, whether it's earned income through ticket sales or whether it's through grants and donations. But I believe that we need to be able to sustain ourselves so that we can have Asian American theater for another 50 years and beyond.
Well, I know that Kata and the Comfest are labors of love for you and for your board and all the theaters that are involved. Everybody's basically chipping in and trying to, you know, put all of this together. I guess sustainability is important for Kata as well and for people to attend. So how many attendees can you take? You mentioned 300 artists, but for people who just want to come and come to the festival, you know, how many tickets or registrations are you going for?
I think in terms of the actual festival portion of it, you know, coming to see the 6 shows and the 5 readings is, you know, we do have the ability to sell, you know, a couple thousand tickets, which is really great. You know, we've been told by OSF has an annual attendance of about 400,000 people a year. And so if we could just tap into that a small percentage of that, we will have succeeded. We're also doing a lot of outreach into the Ashland and Medford communities in terms of drawing these people in to participate in the Comfest. But from what we hear from Oregon, the audience really has a thirst for art. The audience really has a thirst for dialogue. And if we can present these really great panels and plenary sessions that I think that we'll be able to excite the audience that comes to see the Comfest.
Tim Dang, what are you doing with your time these days since you've stepped down from East West Players? You must have tons of time, right?
Right. Well, I am still helping with the transition over at East West Players. We have Snehal Desai, who is the new artistic director of East West. So helping with the transition. But I am also helping with some cultural equity and inclusion initiatives that the Los Angeles Board of Supervisors is actually trying to initiate. And that is very exciting because if there are some initiatives that we can launch for diversity and inclusion in the arts, then hopefully Los Angeles can be a model where other counties can follow.
It's a very exciting time, and it's great to see that this is happening with Kata. For a while there, it seemed like Asian American theater wasn't, you know, was kind of on the downswing, you know, and I'm sure you know about those times, especially in the early millennia, you know, it seemed like it was on a downturn. But now, do you feel like it's a resurgence?
I do. I do feel like there's a resurgence. I believe that there are many artists now who are writing not only in theater, but in film and television and, books and new media such as YouTube. And I think that the critical mass is actually making the Asian American community more visible. And through that, we are a force to be reckoned with.
That was Tim Dang, former artistic director of East West Players in Los Angeles and one of the founders and a board member of the Consortium of Asian American Theaters and Artists, CAATA, C-A-A-T-A, which presents the 2016 National Asian American Theater Conference and Festival, otherwise known as CONFEST. It's being held October 1st through the 9th in Ashland, Oregon, and hosted by the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Their theme is Seismic Shifts, Leading Change in the American Theater, and it features 6 CAATA-presented fully staged productions, 5 new play readings, and free community programming as part of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Green Show series, or Culture Fest. The first show is called Hot Asian Everything, a Seismic Extravaganza, and it is including performances from many CAATA theaters. The second play is 11 Reflections on September, written and performed by Andrea Asaf. It's a spoken word and multimedia performance on the Arab-American experience in a post 9/11 world. The third play is Empire of the Sun, written and performed by Tetsuro Shigematsu. It's about 2 generations of broadcasters, a father and a son, and the radio silence between them. The fourth play is called Motherland, written and performed by Manita Gandhi, and we're listening to the music from the show right now. The life of a young woman is forever changed on a trip to India when she unearths family secrets. The fifth play is the very popular Christina Wong. It's a show that she's written and perform called the Wong Street Journal, part plushy TED lecture and part amateur hip-hop extravaganza and part travelogue, and it's supposed to be very funny. The sixth play is Purple Cloud, written by Jessica Huang, and that's about 3 generations of Huangs dealing with the many facets of their multiracial identities as they embark on a mythical journey from China to Minneapolis and back again. And you can check out more descriptions and information about CONFEST at CAATA.net, that's CAATA.net. I also have that info on stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, where I have the podcast of this show later today. Before we go today, I want to talk about the last play this year of Theater Diaspora. That's Oregon's only Asian American theater company. And it's about a play written by Che Yu during the 90s about the HIV/AIDS crisis, and it's told from an Asian American experience. The play is called A Language of Their Own. The staged readings are September 10th at 7:30 p.m. at Portland Center Stage and September 17th at 2 p.m. at Portland Actors Conservatory. You can get more info at theaterdiaspora.org, and that's theater with an R-E, diaspora.org. I also want to give a shout out for me.
Yes, me.
Or at least my reading and a talk on mixed race history in Oregon this Thursday, September 1st at 7 to 8 p.m. I'm going to be reading from my new book, The Letting Go Trilogy, Stories of a Mixed Race Family. It's happening at another read-through bookstore, an independent bookstore in North Portland. It's located at 3932 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. That's the Another Read-Through bookstore. More info about that at anotherreadthrough.com or my site, dmayroberts.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks for listening today. You can check us out on facebook.com/stage, the letter N studio, where I post all the previews for every show the weekend before on Facebook. And you can tweet me at stage, the letter N studio, and also email me at stage, the letter N studio at AOL.com. Till next time, I'm Dmay Roberts.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM. And coming up next on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan features the 2016 Time-Based Art Festival.
My name's Joseph Galavan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Erin Boberg and Kristen